but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We've been looking together at the book of 2 Timothy primarily, and we've been looking some at 1 Timothy as well, but we've spent a bit more time in 2 Timothy, looking at this time in which we are living that the Bible calls the last days. Chapter 3 and verse 1, the last days. There it was said that the last days, in the last days, perilous times would come. There's no doubt as we look around us in the world around us, and even as we look at the church in general, those that name the name of Christ, that's the thing we've been noticing, that this is not just about the world out there getting worse and worse. This is when those who name the name of Christ, those according to chapter 3 and verse 5, who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, the power of the new birth, or the power of regeneration, when those who name the name of Christ or go under that banner, if you will, of Christianity, when they begin to turn away from the truth, when the things that are listed in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, characterize them, certainly perilous times have arrived. In chapter 4, we saw also that in the time in which we find ourselves living, Paul said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and people will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Again, he's not just talking about the world, who basically, unsaved people, don't have that great of an interest in the truth of God's word anyway. He's talking now about people who would come under the sound of sound doctrine, but they don't want to hear sound doctrine, and they turn away their ears from the truth, and they are turned, rather, unto fables. And as we traced a little bit the word truth through this book of 2 Timothy, we see how prominent a theme it is. And we want to look tonight again at what we might call dealing with doctrinal danger, that there are dangerous things that need to be avoided. And there are things, of course, as we saw in our last study, that we are to be aware of in the area of doctrinal danger and things that are dangerous in the area of doctrine or teaching of the Word of God and things that are connected with it. You notice again in verse 15, chapter 2, the truth is something that needs to be rightly divided. It can be understood. It can be rightly divided. You'll notice in verse 18 of chapter 2 that the truth is something that can be erred against. Error concerning the truth. When it's not rightly divided. You'll notice in verse 18, it's not that these were deniers of the resurrection. They didn't deny there was a resurrection. They simply said the resurrection is already past. And that overthrew the faith of some. There are times when people say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter what we believe about some areas, such as Bible prophecy. It won't really affect you if you believe one thing about the Lord's coming or another. Well, yes, it will. There were some who said the resurrection was already past, and they overthrew the faith of some. So what we believe about the coming of the Lord is important as well. You'll see in verse 25 that there can be repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and people can be recovered from the very snare of the devil. Chapter 3 and verse 7, we saw that there are those who are never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, even though they keep learning, because they deny the very source of truth. They don't go to the true source of truth. The truth can be resisted in chapter 3 and verse 8. And the truth can be turned away from, as we see in chapter 4 and verse 4. There are four overriding words, if you will, or four very active words. They're action words that are found in chapter 2. And I just, for the sake of helping us to remember them or to at least get a grip on them, they all start with an S. The first one's found in verse 15, study. The second one is found in verse 16, shun, turn away from. The third one is found in verse 21, separate. If a man purge himself from these. And the fourth one is found in verse 24. Serve. The servant of the Lord must not strive, and so on. Study. Shun. Separate. Serve. Now, if you look in the rest of the chapter, you could find in verse 1, if you'd like a few more, strengthen, verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strive, verse 5. If a man strive for masteries. Suffer, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Four we're going to see, at least in the section we're looking at tonight, study, shun, separate, serve. What is the overriding goal of all of these? Well, there are two great challenges for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus in this section. And I'm going to suggest to you that the first one is found in verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, properly dividing, rightly dividing the word of truth. Handling accurately God's truth. That's the first great challenge, to be an approved workman. Whenever we work, we like approval on our work. We don't want somebody to come by and say, that's a lousy job you've done there. We don't want somebody to come by and say, that's a pitiful excuse for work. We want somebody to come by and say, because it's true, that's a nice job you've done there. My, that looks good. The paint job looks great. And so on. We want to have approval of our work. How far greater a workman approved unto God. To have God's stamp of approval. To have God's blessing now and when we meet him. That's the far greater thing, isn't it? Far more important than what men think of what we do is what he thinks of our labor, of our study. Secondly, first great challenge, to be an approved workman. The second great challenge is to be what is called in verse 21, a vessel unto honor. A vessel unto honor. Now, in order to be a vessel unto honor, it is said, and we'll look at this a bit more as we move through the passage, to be a vessel of unto honor, it is necessary to separate ourselves from certain things. But how will we know what to separate ourselves from unless we're doing what verse 15 says, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, accurately handling the word of truth? So there's a very close connection, you see, between what we find in verse 15 and what we find in verse 20 and 21. The overriding goal of all this is suggested to us in verse 4 of chapter 2. And actually, I'll read verse 3 because of the connection. Thou therefore endure hardness or hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The great goal of the Christian life and experience is found in verse 4. To please him. Now, you may take a lifetime, and I may take a lifetime, figuring out the nuts and bolts of that in our daily experience. But I want to suggest to you that if that is the overriding purpose of your life, if that is the overriding goal of your life, to please him, that'll go a long way in steering you in the right direction. If the goal of your life and the purpose of your life is just to have a good time, is just to please yourself, is just to do what makes you happy, the outcome's going to be far different. And there's the sort of the contradiction, isn't it? Because the Christian's never happier than when we are seeking to please him. And it's the lie of the devil that says, you know, if you give yourself over and give your life to living for the Lord, you're going to be miserable. You'll never have any fun. You'll never enjoy anything. It'll be one big drag. It's a lie of the enemy, isn't it? It's just the opposite. For the Christian, our greatest joy comes in when we seek to please him. And when that's the overriding rule of our life, an amazing thing it is, what joy we experience. And what a wonder it is when we seek to please him, how great our life is. So that's the overriding goal, to please him. In chapter 2, in verses 14 through 16, we see that we have to take a stand against doctrinal error. We take a stand by warning against it. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting or the catastrophe of the hearers. We take a stand against doctrinal error by warning against it. Take a stand against doctrinal error by our own personal example of studying and handling accurately the Word of God. Verse 15. take a stand against doctrinal error by deliberately shunning what the Bible calls here profane and vain babblings. I don't know exactly what those are, but I tell you they stand in contrast to what we find in verse 11 and throughout the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, where it says this is a faithful saying. The faithful saying, God's truth, God's word, God's eternal truth. And the shunning of the vain and profane babblings that increase and only have a goal towards moving you to ungodliness. You see, the centerpiece again of verses 14 through 16 is verse 15. That is the filter, that is the gauge, that is how you measure. Because you see in verse 14 of these things, put them in remembrance. What are these things? You're going to need to differentiate. Some things you need to put them in remembrance of, he tells Timothy. You've got to be able to distinguish what those things are. Against the words that are of no profit, that just increase unto ungodliness. Over against that which is of no profit, the importance of that which has an effect for all eternity. Remembrance. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance. Now what does that imply? They'd already heard it, hadn't they? They needed to hear it again. Somebody said, a little formula for preaching, for some of you men who the Lord may be moving to preach and giving you gift in that area, sort of a way to go at a message, tell them what you're going to say, say what you're going to say, and tell them what you said. Well, there's some merit to that, isn't there? Somebody was looking at our handout. I like to do, in the years I've been for our men's study, a little something for the men to carry with them. I joke with them that they're going to have to memorize the whole thing before Wednesday when we go. And I can remember even the first year, I almost wanted to hide the thing before we got up there, lest we scared half or more of the group off as they saw the book that we had, including myself. Well, I think we'll have record attendance this year by God's grace. And we'll have a record-sized book as well. I think it's 37 pages. So it's a big volume of stuff. And the men quickly came to the observation, I don't believe we'll finish all this, will we, Brother Larry, in those few days we'll be up there, not unless we speed read the whole thing. And that's all we do in the sessions. Some who've been in some of the other sessions looked and said, well, wait a minute, I've got this in another book, at least part of this. That's true. We have to go over these things again, don't we? And so we'll have a time of review. It won't be the whole time, but we'll have a time of review because we'll have new men with us who haven't had some of the things that some of you have. And because we'll have the rest of us, like me, who have to go over these things time and time again to have them reinforced. Much of teaching, well, at least the brand that some of us grew up on, it wasn't as dramatic. Perhaps it wasn't as, exciting, but you remember that word perhaps from your days of education, rote repetition. There really is no substitute for that. They try to come up with things, but there are some things that you only learn that way. Now, we're talking about God's Word. We're talking about God's Spirit enabling us to see His truth, and yet you find it over and over in the Word of God, don't you? Put them in remembrance of these things. Remind them of these things. Why? For the one reason, because of what we are and how we tend to drift. We always have to be brought back to that centerpiece again of the Word of God. Secondly, because as we see in this very book of Timothy, the Word of God is always under attack. It is always under attack. And you cannot let down the defense. You must reinforce. You must strengthen the constant reminding and teaching and going over of God's Word. Can't let it slip. So, avoiding pointless discussions. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Things such as that. We don't get into that down there, but I mean, we get into some interesting discussions. Y'all remember this one, though. Avoid pointless discussions, okay? Especially at 1 a.m. But put them in remembrance of these things. Study to show yourself approved unto God. The personal example of study with the goal of God's approval and the goal of being able to handle the Word of God accurately. Do we know the doctrines of Scripture? Don't be scared of the word doctrine. It means teaching. That's all it means. It's not really anything more formal than that. Do we know where to find them? Do we know how to explain them? Do we know how to defend them? An approved servant. Presenting faithfully the eternal truth of the Word of God. Put them in remembrance of these things. Avoid unprofitable doctrinal deviation. Some things are just a waste of time. Some things are far worse than even a waste of time. Recognize the destructive nature of error. If you've heard me say anything this past times, nights, and days together, it is of the importance of the truth. It is of the danger of doctrinal error. Again, recognizing the destructive nature of error, verses 16 through 19, and in verse 19, recognizing the, what you might call the demand of divine truth. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, it has this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Keep your place in Timothy. Turn forward to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Actually, end of chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, void of spiritual judgment. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. They profess that they know God, but their works, their conduct, their lives deny him. Abominable, disobedient, unto every good work, reprobate. Foundation of the Lord standeth true. He knows them that are his. But, he goes on to say, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you find these mixed conditions. In verse 20, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Two types of utensils, one of gold and silver, one of wood and of earth. The need for separation, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The these in verse 21, I believe that has to do with false teachers and false teaching. Now, there's a bit of disagreement when you come to verse 20 about what is actually implied there. In other words, there are two different types of utensils that are mentioned in this great house: gold and silver, wood and earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. The discussion centers around whether the wood and the earth are bad and the gold and the silver are good. There is one line of thought that it says that. In other words, the gold and the silver, the good, the wood and the earth, bad. And so purge yourself from the one and be like the other. That is one way of looking at this verse. The other way simply says that in a great house there are various kinds of vessels. Some of gold and silver, some of wood and earth. They have their distinct purposes. They have their different usefulness. Some to honor, and some to dishonor. If we purge ourselves from these, from the false teaching and from the false teachers, it says, if a man does that, if a man learns how to separate himself, and a woman learns how to separate herself from that which is detrimental and that which is displeasing in the sight of the Lord, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Fit for the master's use. Some people, when they travel, collect things. Lots of different things. Some people it's plates. Some people it's spoons. Some people it's cups, hats, all types of things. I'm the mug variety of man myself. I like a cup, mug, something like that, that reminds me of where I've been. It doesn't always make my wife happy. Another mug. You don't need another mug. Why do you need another mug? But you know, it's something of where I've been, and other things I may stuff in a shelf somewhere or stuff somewhere in the back of the house or whatever, but I like to put those, and I put them in my cabinet there, my locker, you know, at the house. And when I get up in the morning and when I like to have my coffee, I reach for a certain mug. That's the one I like to use. Now, I have several certain mugs that I like to use. There's lots of other ones up there. And of all the ones I've collected and all the ones we have, there's probably only a half a dozen or so that I actually use with any regularity. But those are the ones I reach for. You ever have that kind of experience? Maybe it's a cup, maybe it's a glass, but, you know, you look in the cabinet and you kind of, there it is, and that's the one you're going to grab because that's the one you want to use. It's your favorite. I envision that with what Paul says here, that if we separate ourselves from that which is displeasing to the Lord, if we separate ourselves from that which is detrimental in the area of doctrine and so on, we're going to be a vessel unto honor, a vessel unto honor sanctified, set apart for the master's use. That as the master in that sense reaches down to use a vessel for a work, he's going to say, now that's the one I'm going to go for. Kind of like we do in a sense with our favorite mug or cup, obviously at a much higher level. In other words, that's what we want to be. We want to be that one. That when the Lord reaches down to say, I'm looking for an instrument that I might use. There's one. And apparently what we read in the Word of God, that we can have a part in that process in the sense of separating ourselves from those things that call for separation. With a desire of our heart that, Lord, when you reach down in that sense, I want to be that vessel that is set apart and fit for your use and prepared for every good work. Preparation. The unmixed life of the servant. Flee youthful lust, verse 22. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Three things. Flee. Some things stay away from. Youthful lust. Not just sensual, not just even of a sexual nature, but things that are associated often with youth. Pride. Intolerance. Selfishness. All of those things can impede our usefulness in the Lord's work, in the Lord's service. And follow these things. Pursue these things. Righteousness, faith, love, peace, and follow it with them. Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To be helped in our Christian experience, you're going to have to make the right choices about who you spend your time with and who you follow along with. And then the demeanor of the servant. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, but forbearing. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, with a goal to recovering them, that God might give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. It's a difficult thing, isn't it? If God shows us truth, it's so easy to use it like a spiritual sledgehammer. We've got to be careful, don't we? You notice how he wedges that in between all of these words that talk about the demeanor and the character of the servant of the Lord. Gentle. Forbearing, meekness, instructing, recovering, critical. And the goal that some might be recovered. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts tonight. These are things that we need to take a serious look at in our lives before the Lord Jesus. Again, with that great goal of being that vessel unto honor and being the one who, as it says in verse 4, with the goal of our life, as it says in verse 4, to please Him. Let's look to Him in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We see in the Lord Jesus these things exemplified. There's the true servant of the Lord. There's one of whom, in one of the only self-portraits we have, it is said of him, he said of himself, I am meek and lowly. And that meekness was not weakness, it is strength that is held in control. And how patient the Lord Jesus was, Lord, those disciples so many times. How many times did he have to remind them the same thing over and over again? It would have stretched our patience. But the Lord Jesus, the true servant of the Lord, so patient with them. And our Father, you're so patient with us. Look how you put up with us in your long suffering, in your forbearance. Look how you've shown us the way. Help us, we pray. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for a place that seeks to uphold the truth of God's Word. May we always cherish it. Help these young people to learn the importance of separating themselves to the study of the Word of God and from those things that can do them harm and from those people that can pull them down. Help us to learn to differentiate, to make the right distinctions, we pray. And we give you thanks again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.